AEW is riding a little bit of a momentum wave after a couple of really good shows last week with Dynamite and Collision. Tonight's show, not live. It was taped last night in Austin, Texas, because much of the crew on their way to Australia, because this weekend is Grand Slam, and that's going to be airing on TNT on Saturday night. At what time? We don't know. Whenever the NBA stuff is over, that is when Grand Slam will be airing. The question is, did they keep the momentum going this week? You could have one great week, but that doesn't really mean much if you come back the following week and have a terrible show. So did they keep the momentum going? I think they did, but it was not as good as either Dynamite or Collision from last week. And I will say that as a go-home show to Grand Slam, I thought it was pretty weak. We had a few people on the show tonight that are actually on the card on Saturday. The majority of the people on the show were ghosts tonight, outside of vignettes or backstage promos. Many of them were not there. They were not really on the show tonight. As a standalone show on its own, I enjoyed it for the most part. One too many squash matches for my liking on what is supposed to be their A show. But more of the Death Riders this week. And this was the big change. One of the things that I really liked about Dynamite last week was the fact that they kept the Death Riders contained to one segment on the show. They kept them contained to the opening segment. And there was nothing wrong with it. And then they moved on. And there were plenty of other things to enjoy on the show last week. We had more of the Death Riders this week. And at least they told a story with it that they kind of threaded throughout the entire 2 hours, where they had Adam Copeland and Jay White steal the briefcase that supposedly has the AEW World Championship in it, but clearly doesn't. But we're supposed to think that it does. And they called out Jon Moxley and said, look, if you want this back, you need to show up at the end of the night. The whole point was that Copeland has been trying to get Moxley to agree to give him a championship match at Revolution on March 9th. And by the time the show was over tonight, he got his championship match. But as is the case on most weeks, the Death Rider stuff on this show was the weakest part of the show. And it's hard because when you have a main angle like this is their top angle right now. Jon Moxley is the AEW World Champion. They have the Trios titles, right? This is their top heel faction in the company. It all revolves around the Death Riders. And when your main angle is just not hitting the high notes, it makes it difficult and it can be a drag on the rest of the show. And right now, their main angle is not hitting those high notes that they would want them to hit. So as is usually the case, that was one of the, if not the weak points of the show for me. But they also teased some new matches. We had the Hurt Business, or the Hurt Syndicate. I'll talk about the Hurt Business a little bit later, but we have the Hurt Syndicate in the main event tonight. They didn't close the show, but they were in the main event match, defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against the Guns, making their in-ring return. They have not been in the ring in many months. This was their first match back, kind of an odd spot to be in. Vaulted right into a championship match on your first night in when you have no shot of winning. But they were there and they were over. Not as over as the Hurt Syndicate was, but I thought they had a good match. But when the match was over, already teasing a new direction for Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, teasing a future championship match with the Callis family, as we saw Brian Cage and Lance Archer walk out to do the applause for the champs after their win tonight. So they're already teasing that direction. We got Megan Bain in her Dynamite singles debut tonight, and then Chris Statlander immediately coming out after for her match, and then ultimately that led to an angle they shot to tease a future match between Megan Bain and Chris Statlander, which is a match we have not seen before. So I like the fact that they tease some new directions, but the big thing that I like more than anything else, and if you've been watching these reviews, you know what this match is, it involves MJF. And no, it does not involve Jeff Jarrett. It does not involve Dustin Rhodes, who he wrestled tonight. And that was a fine match for what it was supposed to be. But another tease tonight for MJF and Hangman Adam Page. Only this time, it wasn't just a backstage tease. It actually led to a pull-apart brawl between the two. So it's not just that they're teasing it, leaving little hints, but they're not jumping right into it because we're going to get MJF and Jeff Jarrett first. The good news is it looks like that they're putting the Jeff Jarrett thing on the back burner for now. I don't think it's completely gone. I don't think they abandoned ship. I'm sure he'll be back, and I'm sure we'll get him at MJF at some point. But they have shuffled that off to the side, and it looks like they're full speed ahead right now for MJF and Hangman Page. And that right there, that's the match I prefer to see. That right there is a match. Now, I believe they wrestled once. They actually had a match, I think, once on TV about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. But they've never had a proper program together. And these are two of the AEW originals that have been on the roster since day one. They've both been AEW World Champion. Their paths, though, have not really crossed until now. And I find Hangman Page to still be one of the best personalities and just characters right now in the entire company. MJF used to be in that spot. He hasn't been for a while, but this is what I think exactly what he needs to elevate him back to where he should be. And we had a great segment after MJF's match, a great post-match angle they shot involving those two that I'm going to be talking about. But that right there is what got me most excited watching this show tonight. That's a direction that I can get behind. And I think ultimately all roads lead to the AEW World Championship, not for MJF, but for Hangman Page. And I'll talk about that. I'll talk about the when and where. So we'll get into all those details. This is your AEW Dynamite Review. It is Wednesday, February 12, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys so much for joining me here on yet another Wednesday night, as you have been doing now for the past 5+ years. I appreciate it. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. We have a little goal going on in the chat for a bonus round of Be the Booker if we hit our regular goal, which if we don't, then we won't. But hit that like button, and hopefully we'll be able to do that a little bit later on. If you missed it, this past Sunday, episode 900 of the Solemn Monster Sounds Off dropped on all the usual podcast platforms. I got a lot of good feedback from that, so I want to say thank you to everybody who downloaded and streamed and tuned into that. Onward to 1,000. That's the next big goal. Let's get into this show here tonight. They opened a little bit differently. It was a little weird because they opened with shots in the back of various stars who were on the show tonight. The Hurt Syndicate in the back preparing for their match. MJF, he was on his phone looking at something. They showed Dustin Rhodes, the Guns, all these different people in the back preparing for their matches. No voiceovers from commentary or anything, just music in the background and just showing different people. So a bit of a different way to open the show. But yes, the Pointer Sisters have not, by the way, made their return. So the Pointer Sisters were here for 1 week. They have not been heard from ever since. I hope they're doing well, but I suspect we're not going to see them back on the show. So Max Caster was in the ring to open things up. He had a mic, introduced himself as the best wrestler alive, and Caster offered anybody a chance to challenge him. He's got this open challenge. He's going around with this contract or plaque or whatever it is. He said that he ran off Anthony Bowens and he ran off Billy Gunn out of the company. And he questioned who would attempt to survive with the best wrestler alive. Cue the Hangman. The man who was chasing him last week wanted a piece of him this week. And so out comes Hangman Adam Page. And as he's making his entrance and he's making his way into the ring, Caster exits the ring and he scurries over the barricade into the crowd. And they said on commentary, he was trying to camouflage himself. He was trying to blend in with the audience. He was even holding up a sign. He was trying to hide. But the fans all pointed him out. So they snitched on him. And Hangman hopped the barricade to chase after him into the crowd. He gave chase. Chased Caster into the ring. This did not last very long. This did not even go 90 seconds. One of three squashes on this show tonight. Before Hangman finished him off with a buckshot lariat, Page was super over as a babyface, which should not be a surprise. He's been getting more, I feel like more babyface reactions anyway of late. But this, he came out here, you would never know that, you know, he was playing the heel role only, you know, a month ago or whatever it was. Loud chant of cowboy shit. Now, they were in Texas, to be fair. He is a cowboy. Loud cowboy shit chants. They were fully behind him. And Caster, you know, for his part with this geek gimmick that he's doing right now, he got good heat for that. But if they have any sense, if Tony Khan is paying attention and watching this closely, as I'm sure he is, by the time we get to Texas, they come back to Texas, okay? They're not going to be in Austin, but they're going to be coming back to Texas in July for a big stadium show. They're going to have tickets to sell. They have a big show to promote. All in. This man right here, Hangman Adam Page, will be the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Everything is set up perfectly. Now that he's kind of turned to the other side and he's got the crowd behind him and he's about to enter this program I'm going to be talking about here with MJF. And there's still time between now and then, but by the time we get to that show, if I'm looking ahead and I'm saying, okay, of all the options that are available here, and thinking who would be the best person in that spot, in that stadium, in that state, to be the AEW World Champion when that show goes off the air, I come back to Hangman Adam Page. Now, the downside of that is that that would mean that Jon Moxley would hold the AEW World Championship all the way until July. At All In. And I am not at all enamored with that idea whatsoever. So that's the one little kind of kink in the plan there. But getting, you know, Hangman getting the championship back on that show, far more appealing to me than Darby Allin. You know, Darby went away. We don't know when he's going to be back. Hopefully all goes well with his mountain climb, but who the hell knows when we'll see him back on TV. And I know they were telling that story. They did the injury angle to take him out. And so it'll probably be him, but man, if I'm really watching this closely and I'm hearing these reactions and his whole story arc, it's Hangman. Hangman is that guy who should be in that spot. So if they play their cards right, that's how they'll be going off the air at All In. But man, another 5 months, 6 months, whatever it is, of Jon Moxley as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion and the Death Riders running around, just it just makes me sick even thinking about it. I don't know how we square that circle, but that's the outcome I'm hoping for. Speaking of which, after this, we had the Death Riders. Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta. Actually defending, if you can believe it, defending their AEW Trios titles, which have not been defended since the beginning of November, against the Undisputed Kingdom, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. This stemmed from the UK's win. They had a three-way Trios match on Collision, and Undisputed Kingdom picked up a win. When the match was over, they were attacked by the Death Riders, and so that led into this match here tonight. Undisputed Kingdom, they wasted no time in taking it to the Death Riders out on the floor. And after a short brawl, they cut to commercial. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you're not the only one, Mike. I forgot they were the Trios champs. I forgot about the Trios titles completely because they're so insignificant. And they don't get defended very often. So it's very easy to forget, like, oh, who's the champs? Oh, yeah, that's right. They have those Trios titles. It's not a good thing, by the way. That you have to kind of take a second and be like, oh yeah, I forgot about those things. So when things came back from commercial, O'Reilly was isolated. Roddy got a hot tag and he ran wild with backbreakers for everyone. Strong hit Pac with a gutbuster. Cole followed with the backstabber and a PK by O'Reilly. Wheeler Yuta, he shoved O'Reilly off the ropes, which allowed Claudio to blindside Roddy, and they isolated him for a while. That led into a second commercial break. And when things came back, Roddy hit a desperation lariat for a double down. Crowd badly wanted Adam Cole to catch that hot tag, which he got. Pac tagged in a moment later. He jumped right into a super kick from Adam Cole. Kyle tagged in, and the Undisputed Kingdom delivered a triple team knee strike to Pac. Claudio broke up the pin attempt. Things got chaotic. Yuta got wiped out with a high low. O'Reilly eventually got Yuta trapped in an ankle lock. Claudio grabbed a chair, and that ended up distracting Rick Knox. Doesn't take much to distract Rick Knox. I mean, I could take this pen and just throw it on the floor, and that would distract Rick Knox, probably for about 45 seconds. So with him distracted, Yuta delivered a low blow to Kyle, rolled him up, and pinned him. So Wheeler fucking Yuta wins the match here and retains the titles for the Death Riders. After the match, Claudio, Pac, and Yuta, they all continued their beatdown until Daniel Garcia, Matt Menard, and Angelo Parker, they hit the ring for the save, and that caused the Death Riders to bail out through the crowd. You know, the Death Riders, they took most of this match, which made for a lot of very boring stretches. It did get hotter as it went on. Like, those final few minutes, the crowd was hot, and especially for Adam Cole. Yeah, these are... This show here on Saturday, some of the best reactions I've heard him get in a while, which is encouraging, because at one time he truly was one of their top stars, and then injuries just completely derailed that, and I'm sure it took away what would have been an AEW World title run for him. But they got hot there for the final stretch there at the end of the match. The Death Riders, though, they continue their stranglehold on all the gold, which just does not make for very exciting television. It just doesn't. But that's how it goes with the Death Riders. No surprise there. John Moxley and Marina Shafir. See, I wasn't joking when I said we got a lot more Death Riders this week than we did last week. Moxley and Shafir, they were walking backstage when Adam Copeland, he blasted Moxley in the back with a chair. And then he shoved Marina into a room. Her hand, though, was still handcuffed to that briefcase that presumably contains the AEW World Championship, and she's been carrying it around now for months. So Jay White shows up, and Jay White has with him a pair of bolt cutters. And he clips the chain, freeing her of the briefcase. And so they snatched the briefcase and they bailed with it, as Moxley then reappeared. And he and Shafir, they chased after them. So this would feed into what ended up being a show-long story, not a very good one, but it fed into a story that ultimately would lead to the closing segment on the show. MJF was backstage with our old friend Rene Paquette. And he said, Texas is not a real state, and Dustin Rhodes is not a real man. So then Hangman Adam Page walks up to him. And he tells MJF to get out. And MJF says, excuse me? Goes, get out. This is my promo time. And MJF says, you have a crush on me or something? Because this is like the fourth time in the last few weeks that you and I have done this. And we've kind of bumped into each other like this. And you've interrupted me. And then he leaned in to kind of sniff out the Hangman. He said, oh boy, you smell good. I didn't know that Jack Daniels made a new cologne. Which... if that's true, I'll have to look into that, by the way. So Hangman asks, is that the best that you've got after 5 years? That's it? And MJF got serious. He said, fine. He said, you know, this here, you, whatever this isn't you. You don't have the stomach for it. And he asked if, you know, he lost friends and he lost his sanity because he wanted a little apology. Because what makes MJF sick is that the fans actually still believe in this guy. He said after he destroys Dustin tonight, he would do what Hangman has failed to do multiple times, which is win the AEW World Championship for a second time. And he called Paige Seabiscuit, and he walked off. I'm almost positive that it was their very first show, right? Was it that first Double or Nothing where I think he may have made that Seabiscuit comment? Right, because then they do that segment, Bret Hart came out, and I think he presented the AEW World Championship, like what it was going to look like. So again, there's history, very little history, but there is history with these two going back to day one. They've just never engaged in a proper program, which is mind-boggling to me, but here we are. Now, I talked about this feud on episode 900. I talked about how important I think this could be for AEW this year. And I think if Tony Khan plays his cards right, and so far so good with the teases, but that's all it is so far, right? We're not going to really get into the real meat and potatoes of this until next week. But if he plays his cards right, this feud right here, which could carry on for a few months, could end up being the most important of the entire year in this company. Because these are two very important players that he has on his roster. And what he does with them as we head into All In, as we head into All Out, and we head into Full Gear, and everything heading, you know, for the remainder of 2025, how he positions these two, who these two work with, where they are on the card, is going to be very, very important. And if he bungles this, then it would be, you know, very detrimental, I think, to his television show. So hopefully he's got a good plan for where this is going to go and a good plan for where they go when they're done with each other. There's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. But whoever wins and whoever loses, it doesn't even matter, really. What is then the plan for them coming out of it, right? Because whoever comes out of this, the winner, which I think will be Hangman, ultimately, should be in line for a shot at that championship. So this is a very important program that we are about to enter into with these two, and I'm very much looking forward to it. But we weren't done with them yet. The best was yet to come with these two. We had Samoa Joe, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata getting basically a warm-up match here for next week against Aaron Solo, John Cruz, and Rosario Grillo. Cruz, by the way, is the one who was in that great spot when he wrestled Joe. I don't know how long ago. It was probably over a year ago at this point. But they had that squash match on Dynamite, and Cruz came flying off the ropes, and Joe did his nope and just walked away, and Cruz is in midair is looking at him like, dude, that's John Cruz. Unfortunately, we didn't get another spot like that here in this match, which would have popped me, but we didn't get it. But this, as they would call it in wrestling circles, is what you call a squash, is what this was. Hook dropped Aaron Solo with a leg capture suplex. Grillo ate machine gun chops from Shibata before Joe tripped him with 1 foot and then hit a senton. Joe then dropped Cruz with a muscle buster, and he pinned him. After the match, Joe took the microphone. He said every week he is asked what this partnership is all about. Him and Hook and Shibata. What is this? What is this trio here? He says it's very simple. They have a common answer. Violence. What stands before you are three men. They always have a problem, and they will always beat your ass to solve that problem. And Joe said that they are the ops. I assume OPPS. You down with OPP? Yeah, okay. So they're called the ops. Apparently that's what they're calling themselves now. It says they will hunt you down in the streets, which leads him to the patriarchy. This could have been real simple. All Christian Cage had to do was take his ass kicking like a man, but instead, he continues to hide. So Joe issued a challenge for a 6-man tag against the patriarchy on Dynamite next week, which subsequently we were told is now confirmed. So that match will take place on the show next Wednesday. This week's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. There are many different bowls. I eat my cereal out of one every morning. You've got your soup bowls, your rice bowls, salad bowls, pasta bowls. I once had a friend with a bowl cut. I made fun of him mercilessly for it. We are no longer friends. But none of those bowls matter. You know why? Because this week is the Super Bowl. And you can get in on the action with our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 59. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. And today is a great day to get in on the action because, as we all know, scoring touchdowns is the key to that Lombardi trophy. And right now, you have a chance to score big by betting on them at DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they're looking to make history by becoming the first team to go back-to-back-to-back in the Super Bowl, while Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles are trying to play spoiler and stop that from happening. But if they pull it off, they're going to do it as the underdogs in this game, because looking at the money line odds right now, I'm looking at the app on my phone, the Chiefs are the favorite over the Eagles, minus 120 to plus 100. And looking at the odds for first touchdown score, Saquon Barkley of the Eagles is sitting at plus 450. Jalen Hurts is at plus 550. I'm looking at Mahomes over here. He's at plus 1,800. But they also have it broken down here in the app by anytime touchdown score. You know, two or more touchdowns, three or more touchdowns. There's so many different things that you can bet on. It's ridiculous. But always remember, lines and odds are subject to change. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SOLOMONSTER. That's code SOLOMONSTER for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
Renee was in the back, and she was with Chris Jericho and Brian Keith. We didn't get a New York Minute this week, which was good, but we did get this backstage promo here. And she asked if it was any consolation that Jericho got to keep his $200,000 on the bounty that he put on Bandito last week. And, you know, Brian Keith had failed to cash in, so he didn't have to cash in on the bounty. Jericho said that he would have paid double or triple to have that bounty answered, so he's just going to go do it himself. And he wants Bandito in the ring right now for a showdown, he said. We were getting a duel here on Dynamite. A Dynamite duel. There you go. So after a break, Renee was still in the back. That's her home. That's where she always is. This time she was with Willow Nightingale, who was about to talk about her return to Japan next month, when she was attacked by Marina Shafir. And Jon Moxley walked in and he called it pathetic for Copeland to try and fight fire with fire, and he calls him a dead man walking. So, yes, we got a lot of Death Riders on this show, and there wasn't a whole lot to this segment, but Copeland, the story is that Copeland was getting under his skin. Copeland wanted him to accept his challenge to a title match. And so this is what he chose to do tonight. He chose to steal the briefcase and try to get under Moxley's skin. So this was Moxley's response. Now, coming out of this, we had Chris Jericho making his way down to the ring. And he was followed by Bandito. Now, again, he called this a showdown. And they weren't really dressed for a match. I mean, I guess Bandito was, but they're in the ring, and they go back-to-back. Now, this is a playoff of a spot that Bandito did in his match with Brian Keith on Collision, which I enjoyed, and the fans ate it up. That crowd in Texas on Saturday was, again, I wish you could take that crowd and take them on the road with you everywhere that you go. They were in Texas again tonight. This was also a good crowd. But the people went nuts for that spot when they did it in that match on Saturday. And they did it here. They copied it where they went back to back. And then the idea was, and I think the lights were dimmed for this. And then they take the 10 paces. Bandito, the 10 paces to his corner. Jericho, the 10 paces to his, which actually turned out to be 6. He should have taken baby steps, but he took these fucking Godzilla steps, I guess. So it was only 6. But they went to opposite corners. And then they turned around to face one another, and they were about to charge when Brian Keith appeared at ringside and he grabbed at Bandito's ankle. And that distracted Bandito. Jericho and Keith then jumped him, laid a beat down on him. Here come the Outrunners. And they run down to the ring to make the save. Now here comes Big Bill. He's charging down to the ring, holding up the bounty flyer, and he grabs Bandito, hoists him up high into the air for a big choke slam. When he was interrupted by the music of one Powerhouse Hobbs. And Will Hobbs comes out, gets into the ring. The two big guys brawl for a little bit before he delivers a spine buster to Big Bill. And then Bandito laid the flyer down on Bill's chest as he laid there on the mat. I enjoyed the Bandito and Brian Keith stuff from Saturday. This was, again, a rehash basically of what they did then. It was inoffensive. As Jericho segments go, it was inoffensive. I didn't really have an issue with it. I liked what they did at the end. Again, Will Hobbs, Big Bill. That's where the focus should be. And building up to a big match between those two and getting those guys on TV every single week. That's what they've been doing. The only week Hobbs was not on television was the week where he wasn't medically cleared. And even then, he was in like a quick you know, backstage promo that they filmed, because he was at the building that night. They just wouldn't let him go out there and shoot whatever the angle was they were going to do. So ever since that title match with Moxley, he has been pretty much on every single show. And Bill, I mean, you can see where things are going with him. He's going to break away at some point soon from the Learning Tree stuff, and he's going to branch out, pun intended, on his own. And that'll be good, because I like Bill. I like Bill and I like Hobbs. You put the two of them together, I dig it. So obviously they're building to, I don't know if it'll be a stipulation match or what it's going to be, but maybe at Revolution we'll get the match. Maybe it'll be Hobbs and Bill one-on-one at Revolution on March 9th. We'll see. But that aspect of it I enjoy. Bandido being back I think is great. Bandido is a special performer. Even before he got hurt, the reactions that he would get in his matches, you know, even with people who didn't know who he was, he's a fun guy to watch. Obviously, he's super talented, but he's got this charisma about him. And it sucks that he got hurt and then was out for so long, came back, got hurt again. Hopefully, he can stay healthy. But that first match he had back on Saturday, right? You saw the reaction from the crowd. And now they have him on Dynamite. We don't get to see Bandido on Dynamite very often. That's something I'd like to see more of as well. I don't want to see him just relegated to the Saturday show. He's another one who should be going back and forth and appearing on both shows. So that I liked. Now, Adam Copeland and Jay White were backstage. And they were asking, they cut a promo, and they were asking if John Moxley, are you missing your precious cargo? White said they have a canvas that they must paint with the blood of the one true king. Copeland said that he's carried a briefcase like this once or twice in his career. All Moxley has to do if he wants to get it back is meet them out in the ring at the end of the show. So again, just feeding into this story, letting people know they're going to pay it off at the end of the night. You had to know how this was going to end. But making it very clear that that's how they were going to be going off the air tonight. Then we had MJF one-on-one with The Natural, Dustin Rhodes, who was over very big because they were in Austin, Texas. And Austin is where he calls home now. He's the hometown boy. So, of course, he was going to get a great reaction no matter what. They presented this match and only this match, for whatever reason, commercial free. Dustin took control early and MJF bailed out to the floor. Dustin gave chase, forced him back into the ring. MJF hung him up on the top rope and then began to target the arm with knee strikes. He taunted Dustin, called him a joke. He landed punches in the corner, tried to mock him with the old gold dust gesture, but Dustin powered out of the corner and delivered a powerbomb. Dustin returned the favor with some mounted punches in the corner, including a gold dust thrust right up in his face. He followed with a bulldog. No attempt at a cover, though. Dustin went to climb the ropes. MJF kicked him in the elbow as he was climbing. And Dustin managed to roll up MJF to escape a salt of the earth armbar attempt. He followed up with a crossroads, covered for a near fall. Both men traded roll-ups for near falls. MJF managed to pull Dustin in for a pile driver and then covered him for a close near fall. So this was very frustrating for MJF. And he goes out to the floor. He retrieves a chair from ringside. Gets in the ring and he wraps the chair around Dustin's arm. And he goes to the ropes and he is teasing that he is going to Pillmanize the arm. And referee Bryce Remsburg says, no, you're not. And he gets in between. He pulls the chair away. Dustin hits the ropes and MJF falls. But he falls in perfect position for Shattered Dreams, which Dustin then followed through on. And he delivers the kick while the ref is, he goes and disposes of the chair. He then delivers a final reckoning, gets a close near fall out of that, but not quite. MJF played possum and ended up delivering a final reckoning of his own using Dustin's own move on him. And then he transitioned into the salt of the earth. And these people were begging this man. They were begging Dustin not to give up. He had him dead center in the ring. Dustin's inching his way towards the ropes, right? He's got those long arms and legs, and he's trying to make a play for it. MJF then keeps the hold applied, but he transitions also into a crossface. So now he's got it locked in. And Dustin passes out from the pain. He did not give up. He did not verbally submit. He did not tap out, but he passed out. And the referee called for the bell. After the match, MJF attempts to inflict even more damage to the arm by applying the salt to the earth. When we hear the music of one Hangman Adam Page, and Hangman power walks to the ring, and he goes face to face with MJF. We got a face off here in the middle of the ring, and the fans are all into this. MJF teases backing off, but then he double legs Hangman down to the mat, starts raining down punches. Hangman turns him over, starts raining down punches of his own. Officials hit the ring, and they get in between them. They intervene to break them up. Both men end up breaking free. MJF breaks free, then Hangman breaks free. The action spills out to the floor. They ended up in the crowd, and not just like over the barricade, but they're in the crowd. They go up the stairs a little bit. They're like one level up, and they're right in that area where you would see guys doing balcony dives. I thought they were going to do some kind of a dive or fall off or something, and there'd be a whole, you know, gaggle of people down there to catch them, but they didn't do anything big like that. But they fought into the crowd for a while, and then finally they got separated, and the fans were not happy about this. Let them fight, let them fight. And they drag Hangman out of there, right? MJF is still in the crowd. MJF goes down the stairs to make his way back towards the ring. There's a fan there with a beer. He takes the beer, splashes it on the fan, goes over the barricade, grabs the mic, and is cutting a promo as he gets back in the ring. And he says, "I'm ready to go. But Hangman sucks because he's a gutless coward." And he said that he's not coming back out here because he's a loser like every single one of the fans. When all of a sudden, who emerges from the backstage area but Hangman Page? And he runs down to the ring, and he double legs MJF to the mat. Fans come alive all over again. They're going crazy for this. And again, they had to be separated. This was fucking great. The match with MJF and Dustin was good. It was fine, right? It was nothing overly special, but Dustin was, of course, going to be over in Texas, and he was, and that helped the match a lot. It was fine. But it was all about the post-match angle. The post-match angle, that's what I was here for. And that was the best part of this entire thing. And I'll tell you what else was great about this. They went to a commercial. When they came back from the commercial, they did something that they don't do enough of. They replayed part of what we just saw, right? They'll do that occasionally, but when they have a hot angle, like sometimes it's just right on to the next. They don't give these things a chance to breathe. And by the time like you're trying to process everything you just saw, you're already two or three segments into whatever's coming up next. They took the time to replay the important parts of what we just saw. And they included footage of what we didn't see, which was Hangman blowing off some steam and wiping out one of the security geeks with a buckshot lariat. But so many times they fail to do that. And it seems like such a small thing or an obvious thing, but they don't do enough of it. And so I was glad that they took the time to do that. And they also announced that per Tony Khan, next week on Dynamite, we're getting MJF and Hangman Page, not in a match, but they're going to have a face-to-face. We're getting the face-to-face promo between these two in the ring next week, which should be good. Even better, no Jeff Jarrett. Is the Jeff Jarrett angle dead? No, it's not dead. And I do think we will get MJF and Jeff Jarrett at some point. But at least for now, it's on the back burner. And the focus is on MJF and Hangman Page, which seems like this should be the Revolution match. You know, if we're getting a face-to-face with them next week, we're beyond the point of like little hints and teases. Okay, we had a full-on fucking brawl between these two on the show tonight. They couldn't keep their hands off each other in the most platonic way possible. But these two guys were going at it. They'd break free. They'd go at it again. And everybody was eating it up. So now we get the face-to-face. They're not on the Australia card this weekend. You save that match for Revolution on March 9th. That would seem to be the direction, you know, as best as I can tell. That's what makes sense to me. And it won't be their only match, but it will be the kickoff to what may end up being one of the biggest programs in this company all year. And I'm here for it. That's the match I want to see. MJF's been playing around with the senior circuit for the last few weeks. That's cute. I mean, that's cute and all, but let's get down to brass tacks. This right here is what we need to see more of on this show. This angle here that they shot was fucking great. Yeah, Roderick says Jarrett might cost MJF in his match with Hangman. I could see him getting involved, potentially. But, you know, when Jarrett went out, last we saw Jarrett, well, I mean, I guess, you know, he would be looking for revenge based on the way he was taken out. So I really would rather not see a Revolution match end with a Jeff Jarrett run-in of some kind. So I hope that doesn't happen. But yes, I could absolutely see that being the case. Because like I said, we're not done. There are going to be some people who look at this and go, maybe Tony Khan saw all the criticism from people online and he's, you know, moving away from it very quietly. They're not getting away from the Jeff Jarrett angle. The Jeff Jarrett angle is he wants to become the AEW World Champion this year. I'm sure he's going to be in the Owen Hart tournament. Like, that story is still going to be told, and there will be a match with him and MJF. I don't mind them putting it off for a while. But don't mistake this for, oh, it's abandoned. It's not abandoned. I can almost guarantee you it's not abandoned. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Men, you've heard of hair versus hair matches in wrestling. But right now, you may find yourself in a losing battle with Mother Nature when it comes to hair loss. But just because you've lost it, or you may be starting to lose it, doesn't mean that you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you will be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hair loss is more common than you may think, and it can be tough to deal with. But that's why I'm telling you about this right now, so that you can avoid all of the stress and the self-consciousness that comes with losing your hair. It can be very discouraging. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions and start seeing results in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple. With doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. It's good to have options. Hims makes the process simple and convenient, and it is 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. I know some people would have a panic attack, even just sitting in the waiting room, let alone having to go face-to-face in person with someone to talk about this. But this takes all of that potential stress out of the equation. Just answer a series of questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. There's no need to worry about insurance, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. So let's get down to brass tacks. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Well, we had the Megasis, Megan Bain, making her Dynamite singles debut tonight against Maya World, if that is her real name. Fine little squash win, less than 2 minutes for Megan Bain. Both women ran the ropes. Megan caught a leaping Maya in a bear hug before throwing her with a suplex. Maya threw some weak punches, but Bain threw her again with an overhead suplex, followed by a leaping lariat, and then an F5 for the win. So immediately after the match, Megan Bain is exiting. They start playing Chris Statlander's theme music. They're going right into the next match, because she's up next. So as Megan is walking, here comes Chris Statlander, and the two of them pass each other like two ships passing in the night. Be still, my heart. So that was the first little tease, like, okay, we're getting something here, right? We weren't done yet, though. It was Chris Statlander one-on-one with Penelope Ford. Mind games from Penelope Ford early on here. She got a hammerlock. She licked the side of Statlander's face. That did not end well for Penelope Ford. And Statlander responded with a sliding lariat and then delivered some forearm shots in the corner. Ford tried to lick her again, but Statlander slammed her, got her up for a vertical suplex, held her there for a little bit. And then after she dropped her, Statlander struck a pose for the crowd until Ford sent her throat first into the ropes. That took us into the commercial. Statlander turned the tables with a superplex. That was during the break. Ford wanted a hanging neck breaker in the corner, but didn't get much of one. This, whatever it was, this did not look good. Ford wanted a moonsault. Statlander cut her off and wanted a deadlift German. Ford landed on her feet, though, and hit her matrix stunner. Penelope tried a springboard, but she jumped right into the clutches of Chris Statlander, who hit a German suplex. Statlander wanted a fireman's carry, but Ford turned it into a poison rana. And then Penelope missed the corner handspring. Statlander hit a lariat. And then Wednesday Night Fever to pick up the win. It looked like we might be getting another quick match here. This would have been our fourth potential squash of the night. Maybe not a squash, because Penelope Ford, she's had some competitive matches, but it looked like this might be headed towards a shorter match, just because it looked to me like they were going to do the dueling, like, okay, you finished your opponent off real quick, I could do the same thing. And that's not what we got here. We actually got a match that went roughly 10 minutes, so it was a competitive match. When it was over, though, as Statlander was trying to exit the ring, Megan Bain comes walking back out. And right as Penelope Ford knocks Statlander, who was like midway through the ropes exiting the ring, she got knocked out of the ring from behind by Penelope. Over comes Megan Bain. She scoops her up onto her shoulders and delivers an F5 on the floor. So if it wasn't apparent before, when they passed by each other, yes, we are getting a match. Hopefully a real program, not just a match, between Megan Bain and Chris Statlander. I'm all for that. And I do wonder if this is a sign here, what we saw of a potential alliance with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, or was it just incidental where Ford just gave her a shove and it doesn't really mean anything? It doesn't necessarily mean that her and Megan Bain are in cahoots. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they are or not, but a Statlander-Megan Bain match sounds good to me. So sign me up for that. After this, we got a music video. And that could be a bad thing, or that could be a good thing. But this was good. We got a music video from Harley Cameron and puppet Mercedes Moné. Because she's a ventriloquist, if you didn't know. And she's been running around with her Mercedes puppet now for weeks. So Harley sang and she rapped while also singing with puppet Mercedes until she said, all right, cut it. And then all the fun and games were over and it was her sitting in a chair facing the camera and she cut a serious promo. And she said that you always have to start somewhere. And there was a time where she didn't know how to wrestle. She didn't know how to sing. She didn't know how to play a guitar, how to be a ventriloquist or how to speak Chinese, but she thanked Mercedes for doubting her because it's only made her stronger. She wants to win the TBS title in her hometown, and she used her go-home line that Mercedes will feel the wrath. And Harley Cameron has been one of the cool stories about AEW television really over the last couple of months, in that she sort of came out of nowhere, but not really. I mean, she's been around for a while, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people who knew of her talents, but she just didn't really have the chance to show her entire range of talents until the last several months. And she's caught on. People have taken notice. Tony Khan has taken notice because he's giving her television time every single week on both shows on most weeks, but especially on Dynamite, which is a show that she wasn't on very often. There was a point in time where you would only see her on Rampage and shows like that. But clearly he's taken notice of not only what she brings to the table, but the reactions that she gets. Apparently the Harley in concert segment that aired on Collision on Saturday this past weekend, there was a noticeable spike in the numbers for that segment, which, you know, is not surprising to me. She's very entertaining. And so you saw that on display here in this segment. It would be a feel-good moment for her to go into Australia in Brisbane this weekend and go home and win the TBS championship. It's not going to happen. And frankly, it shouldn't happen. It would be a mistake for it to happen. You get that one great moment, but then reality would set in that this woman, up until recently, had zero wins in her entire AEW career. Zero. It would be like taking the Brooklyn Brawler and, you know, putting him in a championship match, right? And she looks a lot better than the Brooklyn Brawler did and is far more talented. But remember, like, when Barry Horowitz finally, he got a win over Skip of the Body Donnas, right? And he actually started to get over. He got a little bit of a push there. But Barry Horowitz, he was the jobber to the stars, right? He didn't win matches. His goal was to go out there and fucking lose all the time, which is basically what Harley Cameron did for the longest time. Now imagine if Barry Horowitz goes in there and he beats Skip, and then 2 weeks later, he's in the main event of In Your House wrestling Shawn Michaels for the WWF title. That would be pretty fucking stupid now, wouldn't it? So she's getting a championship match, and she's got a lot of momentum right now, but she's not ready for that spot. And there's a great story that you can tell if you take the time to tell that story. So don't jump the gun on this. Right, this is the first time. She's going to hopefully have a good showing. She's going to lose. But if you want to, and they should, there is a longer-term story to tell with her and eventually culminating in her winning the championship, whether it's from Mercedes or somebody else. Because as long as I feel like it would take to tell that story, I don't know that we need Mercedes to hold the TBS title for that entire length of time. But if she was to, you know, imagine sitting here in 9 months and then Harley Cameron beats her and wins the TBS title, right? See, that to me would make a lot more sense. But she has been one of the real standout attractions on these shows now for many, many weeks. And I'm glad she's getting her moment to get a big match on that show this weekend. The main event, or the in-ring main event, not the closing segment, but the main event of this show, was the Hurt Business, the Hurt Syndicate. I keep calling them the Hurt Business. The Hurt Syndicate, they hurt people. You know how I know this? Because their theme song told me so. The Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against Austin and Colton Gunn, who just came back. Their first match back, challenging for the titles. Champions got a much bigger reaction than the Guns did here in Texas. And they got a good reaction, but not like the Hurt Syndicate. Lashley started the match with Colton, and there was a spot Austin tagged in. Actually, I don't remember if it was Austin or Colton, but he picked one of the Guns up. I think it was Austin. And he had him up, and he just dumped him out of the ring. But it was like, it wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to kind of dump you over the top. But like, he just dumped him out to the floor. And even Excalibur was like, oh my God. So they went to a break, and when things came back, Benjamin made a blind tag. Austin low-bridged Lashley out to the floor, and then dropped Benjamin with a cutter. Austin leapt to go tag his partner, but Colton was pulled off the apron by Lashley, and he got rammed into the barricade. Back in the ring, Austin finally made the diving hot tag to his brother, who ran wild with a series of drop kicks. It was an O'Connor roll from Colton. Benjamin escaped, though, into an ankle lock, which Austin flew in to break up. We had an assisted blockbuster that led to Benjamin being dropped with a Famouser for a two count only. Lashley came back in and cut off the 310 to Yuma attempt as Benjamin hit a super kick to Colton before sending Austin flying with a whole series of German suplexes. Lashley followed with a massive spinebuster, and Austin ate a corner knee from Shelton. And Lashley finished things off with a spear to retain the titles. After the match, Brian Cage and Lance Archer, who of course are members of the Don Callis family, they walked out on stage and they slow clapped for the tag team champions as Lashley and Benjamin turned their attention to find them on stage. So they are teasing them as the next challengers. I enjoyed this. I questioned the Guns getting a tag team title match now. You know, in their first match back, when you knew what the outcome was preordained. I mean, the outcome was obvious from the time they announced the fucking match last week. and why you would send them in there just to lose in the first match. It's a questionable move. I don't think they come out of the mat. I mean, look, again, it all depends on the follow-up here. I don't want to say that, oh, they'll be fine, because where's Private Party been since they lost their titles, right? We haven't seen them. They at least had a better showing than Private Party because they got more offense in this match. They gave them offense. Private Party was given nothing when they lost those titles. I mean, they tried. Nothing worked. It basically was a glorified squash. This was more competitive. They gave them more offense here. The Guns were over. Not quite as over as the Hurt Syndicate. People like chanting, "We hurt people." A lot of times you would hear the fans in the crowd. They would break into, "We hurt people. We hurt people." And to the point that I made on Monday night, I went off in my Raw review on the music situation in WWE and on Def Rebel. And this right here is a great example of what I was talking about. This right here highlights the importance of good entrance music. Lashley and Benjamin are over, but so is their song. And now it's part of their whole act now. Now you got the fans chanting, "We hurt people. We hurt people," because it's in the song. That's why good theme music is so important and why the situation is so fucking poor and dire right now in the other company when it comes to their music. But I like that we're actually getting the tag team titles defended. I like that aspect of things too. This was only the first defense here, but they just teased Archer and Cage. Obviously, they're going to be getting a match very soon. The Young Bucks, they already dropped their IWGP tag team titles in Japan a few days ago. So they're probably on their way back soon to AEW television. Not that I want them to get the belts back, but you get the Bucks back, and that's another big team back in the division that also includes FTR, that also includes the Outrunners. And then you also have a team we saw last week that looked very impressive against the Callis family. And you have them too, by the way, the other members of the Callis family other than just Archer and Cage. But you've got the Hounds of Hell. You've got Brody King. You've got Buddy Matthews. They had a hell of a match last week. And looking ahead long term, that could be the destination. That should be the destination, honestly. If those titles are coming off Lashley and Benjamin, let's say this summer, maybe in Texas, whenever it's going to be, the Hounds of Hell at this moment, they lead the pack as far as I'm concerned. Like, if you're going to rank these teams on who should be next in line once the Hurt Syndicate drops those titles, which is far down the road, but when it happens, Matthews and King, those are the two guys I'm looking at. So, you know, getting the Bucks back soon, like, that's a good thing. They don't have to win the titles. They just have to be part of the division and be part of a hopeful resurgence for a division that once was the best division, tag division, in any company probably in the world. And that is no longer the case. But that will go towards, you know, helping that, trying to help restore that division to maybe not what it once was, but trying to get back to something like what it used to be. But remember, we went through that stretch last year where the Young Bucks were the champs and they didn't defend their titles for like 4 or 5 months, right? That shit can't fly. We don't need to see the Hurt Syndicate defending their titles every week, but it's nice to get a tag team title defense every now and then, isn't it? It is nice. Now, I mentioned the Hurt Business a whole bunch of times because I still got the Hurt Business on the brain, but one of the pieces of news from this past week on the WWE side were all the releases that took place, up to about a dozen talent releases. One of those talents was Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander was a part of the Hurt Business, and he is now gone from WWE, or he will be anyway, in 85 days. So he'll be a free agent in less than 3 months, I am sure. I don't need The Observer or PW Insider or Fightful or anyone else to tell me that you're going to have certain people behind the scenes in AEW probably going to bat for Cedric Alexander, probably putting in a good word for Cedric Alexander. And I think that for him, that would be the best landing spot, assuming he wants to work there. You know, obviously there have been issues within the family. There have been issues in the past with Tony Khan and AEW. But I have to assume ultimately he ends up there. Tony would bring him in and he would be reintroduced into this crew and you get the whole band back together. It just seems like the natural progression here. And here's the other reason I like it. I like it because what it would allow them to do, right, in a few months, is transition Bobby Lashley away from the tag team scene. Let Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander be the tag team within the Hurt Syndicate. And let's get Bobby Lashley back into the, you know, into the singles realm. I don't want a Malakai Black situation all over again, where this guy who came in with such momentum as a single ended up spending probably 90%+ of his run in this company doing tags and trios matches. I don't want that to be how Bobby Lashley spends the majority of his 2025. That's one of the benefits of bringing in a new member. And if it's Cedric, they can be the team. Lashley could then kind of branch off and do his own thing as a single star, which I think is the way to go. So the show cut to Mariah May backstage. She and Timeless Toni Storm are going to be having a match this weekend at Grand Slam in Toni's home country. She is from the Gold Coast. She said Timeless Toni Storm should have died back in August, but she never did know how to write a proper ending. And she said that after she defeats her in Australia, everyone will realize that Mariah did it better. Every match, every promo, everything. She claimed Toni Storm isn't real. She's just the invention of a sad, tired, pathetic woman. She said that she must really love Toni, because on Saturday, this is going to be a mercy killing. So this was fine. I would have enjoyed it more if we had maybe like a no contact, no physicality, face-to-face in the ring, you know, because they brawled on Collision, so you could have run it back and said, okay, ladies, last chance here to say your piece to each other, but if you lay a hand on each other, the match is off. And just get them in the ring face-to-face. This was fine. I would have preferred that. Again, a lot of faces on that show this weekend that just were not there. You know, were not on the show in like a meaningful way. The show closed, not with the match, but with the Death Riders. But before the Death Riders came out, we had John Moxley. We had Adam Copeland and Jay White. They're now best buds of late. They come down to the ring. And Copeland asked the fans if they wanted to see the AEW World title, because the belt has been hidden away since Moxley won it at WrestleDream. And of course they said yes. And he told the fans, hold on a second. And he gets out of the ring, he goes underneath the ring, and he retrieves a long case underneath the ring containing Spike, his best friend Spike, which is his version basically of Janice that Abyss used to carry around. It's the board with the nails in it. He threatened to smash the briefcase open and take the AEW World title if Moxley did not come out and agree to give him a title match at Revolution. John Moxley took the bait. He came out through the crowd, said that he had no idea, Copeland, had no idea the mistake that he is making right now. You think I don't care about the AEW World Championship? You don't know Jack about it. These people don't know Jack about it. Jack? Okay. Moxley, this is a PG Moxley that we have here. All of a sudden, he doesn't bleed anymore. He's saying Jack. Old man Moxley here. But we don't know Jack about any of this, he says. He says he's left pieces of his soul in that ring. Probably literally left pieces of himself in that ring. Pieces of his soul in the ring for that title. He's the protector of that title. And he's about to do something right now that he doesn't want to do. He is going to show Copeland how much he cares. At Revolution, he is going to break Adam Copeland's neck. You want your shot at the AEW World Championship? You want your shot at the King? You got it. And Copeland was happy, But he said that he's going to show all these fans how much he cares about the AEW World Championship. And he began smashing the briefcase with Spike, which is kind of weird if you think about it, because you're taking this board with nails in it that could very well, you know, go through this briefcase. You're trying to smash this thing open, which means you're trying to smash the fucking belt you claim to care about. So that was a little weird. But he's smashing it. He only dents it before the Death Riders hit the ring and they distracted him long enough for Marina Shafir to slide in, and she swiped the briefcase back. So they got the briefcase back. Copeland then speared Pac. He attacked Moxley. Claudio, though, made the save. Jay White dropped Claudio with the Blade Runner. Moxley, though, got possession of Spike and was threatening Jay White with it until Copeland speared Moxley. And White and Copeland ended up in the aisleway. And Jay White said that at Grand Slam Australia, they put the Death Riders in the ground. So we already knew that we were going to get a championship match of Revolution. We already knew what the championship match was going to be. It was no secret. Jon Moxley defending against Adam Copeland. It didn't excite me. Now that it's official, I'm still not excited by any of this. I know we have to go through the motions here, and Moxley's got to defend against somebody, and Darby's not around, and Hangman's busy with MJF, and so who's it going to be, right? Not Jeff Jarrett. So we're getting Copeland, who's fine. You know, he'll be, you know, a fine opponent for him. Just, it's not a match that excites me. The thought of Adam Copeland winning the AEW World title does absolutely nothing for me. And I don't expect him to win the title, but he is challenging for it. And he is, you know, the baby face in there against someone who's supposed to be the top heel. And so you should be going into it excited about the prospect that, you know, this man might walk out with the world championship. And it doesn't excite me at all. But don't forget, we have Christian Cage, who knows Copeland very well, who's walking around with a guaranteed contract for a shot at the AEW World Championship. And I would have to imagine that Christian is going to try to cash that in, or he will cash that in at Revolution. And I don't expect him to be successful. Now, they could do a finish. And I wouldn't be angry about it for this reason. If they find a way to get that fucking title away from Moxley and the Death Riders, that I'm okay with, that I like. If they were to have Copeland win the title and then have Christian cash in on Copeland, and Christian ends up with the title and gets even a short run with it, I'm not completely opposed to that. I still feel like after all of this Death Rider stuff and who can save AEW, when push comes to shove, if Adam Copeland is the one to take the title from Jon Moxley, it's a fucking waste. But at this point, I'm just so tired of the Death Rider stuff, and not in like, oh, they get good heel heat. See, you want to see the bad guys get beat. Like, no, I don't want to see this at all. And I'm just so disengaged from anything Death Riders related, that if it helps get the title away from them and transitions it to somebody other than them, you know what? I'm okay with it. And I don't need an Adam Copeland run as world champion in 2025. So if he wins it and immediately drops it to Christian, I'm actually more open to a short run for Christian than I am for Copeland. But even then, he shouldn't have it for very long. It's a stopgap until you get the title on somebody who could really benefit from it, and frankly, somebody who could, you know, be in a position to represent the company as the champion, not just for a quick run. But if it gets the title away from Moxley, you know what? I'm okay with it. But again, to go back to what I said at the beginning of the review, when you have your top angle is not hitting those high notes that you wanted to hit, and it's just not connecting, it's not clicking in the way that you would hope that it would, it makes it tough. When you build these entire shows around the Death Riders and you have multiple Death Riders segments, but the Death Riders are fucking boring, you know, that's the part about it that sucks. And the idea of him holding on to that title until Texas in July is just like, I'm just begging for something else, anything else. But we'll see where this ends up. But the main event for Revolution is now official. I enjoyed the show for the most part. I did not think it was as strong as last Wednesday or Collision on Saturday, but they're on a roll right now. At least for the last week, 2 weeks, they're on a roll where they've been able to put together, Tony Khan has been able to put together a string of good to very good shows that have a clearer focus, that are pushing newer faces or faces that maybe aren't so new, but they're the right faces that he should be pushing and that we should be seeing more of on TV. MJF and Hangman is just one example of that. But again, I mentioned Harley Cameron, I mentioned Big Bill, I mentioned Bandito and Powerhouse Hobbs. Those are the people that need to be featured more consistently. And as the months go on, the hope is that we'll be able to look back and go, you know what? These guys and these women, they're a lot more over now than they were back then. They've made some new stars here. Maybe that can start to make a difference when it comes to the week-to-week television. Because 1 week, 2 weeks, that's great and all. But, you know, I want them to get back to a point where I can't speak for everybody. Obviously, you have, you know, the sickos who AEW can do no wrong. And every show is, you know, 10 out of 10. But I would like to get back to a point where I can sit here and review and watch these shows and say, you know what? These shows are consistently better than they were 3 months ago and 6 months ago. You know, and maybe they're not what they were 4 years ago, but you know what? They have gotten themselves to a point where they are stringing together quality television shows that don't insult your intelligence, that don't push people that we don't want to see, but that are actually pushing people that can carry these shows, you know, going forward. So I hope they can keep it going, but you know, this weekend they got a big show down in Australia, which is not a pay-per-view. It is a television special. And it is not airing live. It will air whenever the basketball stuff is over with on Saturday night. That could be at any time. It could be super late. It could be not that late. So I am not covering it live because I don't even fucking know when the show is going to begin. And I got a podcast to prepare for on Sunday anyway. So hopefully I'll be able to watch the show on Saturday night. And the idea is that I'll give my thoughts and do a review for Grand Slam on episode 901 on Sunday. So that's the plan right now. Let's go through this card real quick, and I'll give my final predictions here for Grand Slam Australia. They are in Brisbane. It is going to be John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli taking on Adam Copeland and Jay White in a Brisbane brawl. Death Riders could take this one. I'm going to go with the babyfaces, though, because I don't see Copeland winning at Revolution, so at least this gives him a momentum-building win going into that championship match. So I'll go with Copeland and Switchblade for the win. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay going to be taking on Konosuke Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. This should be a fucking great match. And I'm sure Kyle Fletcher will have his fans. And he may even be super over down there, given that, you know, he's from Australia. I don't think that means that Omega and Ospreay are going to be booed. But I do think they're going to get the win. I am going with the baby face, or as they're calling them, the dream team. I guess, you know, we got big NBA weekend coming up, so now these two are being billed as the dream team. I think the dream team is going to pick up the W. We got Kazuchika Okada defending his continental title against Buddy Matthews, another Australian native. Should be a great match. He ain't winning that title. But it should be a great match. They're not taking that title away from Okada until they get to Texas for All In. A match they have already teased for that show. Until they get him and Omega in the ring together, that title's not going anywhere. So that'll be an Okada win. We have Mercedes Moné defending the TBS championship against Harley Cameron. And I do not expect a title change here. Mercedes will retain. She will not drop her championship on the television special airing at 12 o'clock in the morning. And Mariah May defends the AEW Women's World Championship against Timeless Toni Storm. And this could go either way. I could definitely see them wanting to give Timeless Toni, especially if Harley is losing and Buddy is losing. I even have Fletcher losing. I have all the Aussies losing in my predictions, so I'm probably off on one of them. I would think that they may want to give one of them, throw one of them a bone. And it might be easier to actually give the win then to Fletcher and Takeshita, because then there's no titles involved. I just don't see a title change here. I think that the title change, if it happens, is going to come at Revolution. I think that Mariah May either wins or at least doesn't lose her championship. So maybe some kind of a DQ finish. But I think they run it back at Revolution with a stipulation, and that is where we get a title change on the pay-per-view. But I do wonder if they will close the show with this. I think a lot of it depends on what the outcome is going to be. If Toni Storm is going to win the championship, you close the show with this. If Toni Storm is not going to win the championship, I still might close the show with it. It really depends on what kind of finish. If you're going to do like a DQ finish or something lame, you don't end the show like that. Anything else, this is the best built match of any on the entire card. It's the best built match, one of the best storylines they've had going in years. And it's Tony's homecoming. That's all the ingredients for a main event. It's like when they went and took the Elimination Chamber to Perth last year. Who was in the main event defending her championship? Rhea Ripley. Now, we ended up with Nia Jax in the main event, but Rhea Ripley was in the main event defending her title. I would close the show with this. So, I mean, for the matches they have, it's a strong card. It's not, obviously, a pay-per-view, so you don't have 10 matches, because it's not going to be a four-hour show, thank God. So, I mean, what they have here is strong. Not a pay-per-view card, but it's a strong card. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Dynamite tonight? From Austin, Texas. 60.5% thumbs up, 39.5% thumbs down. Oh, that's right. You know, Bliss fan, thank you for the reminder. I had forgotten about that. Nia was also born in Australia. I was just saying Nia Jax in the main event. I mean, Nia had a good year, but how many pay-per-views do we have Nia Jax in the main event? The only reason that was the main event, I don't care where Nia was from, was because of Rhea Ripley. So if this match headlines Grand Slam, it's because of one person, and it's not Mariah May. It's because of timeless Toni Storm. That's my point. But second week in a row, the Dynamite ends with a positive score. Again, it's kind of a reversal of fortune here from what the show's been doing over the last few months. So hopefully we see more of it. I certainly hope so. Makes it a lot easier to review when the shows don't make me shake my head so much that I have to take Tylenol. All right, let's take a look at your super chats here. Thank you guys, as always, for the support. We do have a goal going in the chat for bonus Be the Booker. We might fall. We're more than halfway to the goal. I don't know that we're going to hit it, though. But get those likes up if you want Be the Booker later on. We're still about 100 likes away. So you got to get those up. All right, let's kick things off here with it's the Beast Mortoast. We saw this guy on TNT last night, and he's back tonight. I'm guessing breakfast is his favorite meal of the day. The Beast Mortoast, and he says, "Roar!" That's what he says. That sounds about right. That sounds about right for the Beast Mortoast. Amazing. Linklex. Buy or sell. Says, Aces and Eights or the Death Riders? Aces and Eights. Unregistered Hypercam with the $5 super chat. Buy or sell. Demand Moxley talk like a human or get every limb Hillmanized. Seriously, not one wrestler has said, make sense for once. You want to see a wrestler talk like a robot and speak with a cadence and in a way that I don't know of any human being I've ever encountered in real life who speaks the way that she does. Go watch a Cora Jade promo. Or there was like a backstage segment, I think, with Cora on NXT this week. Go watch Cora Jade. Who talks like that? Is this how they're teaching them down there at the PC? She's worse than Moxley. Jerome, what's going on, Jerome? Do you think Ricochet against Swerve is heading for a cage match? I think that Ricochet and Swerve is heading for a stipulation match. I don't know if it's a cage necessarily. I don't know that it's necessarily a cage. But I do think at Revolution, they'll have some kind of a stipulation match. The Mount Burning Kid, Christopher Bennett. So we're supposed to believe that Cage and Archer are threats when they couldn't even win a 4-on-2 brawl against Omega and Ospreay. Well, I don't know that anybody is taking them seriously as threats, but you know exactly how they're going to build it up, right? It's the battle of the big men, right? Shelton Benjamin is the smallest guy of the bunch, and I don't think I wouldn't call Shelton Benjamin a small man. So that's how they'll hype it up, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Bobby's World with the $10 super chat says, police came to my door to ask about an abandoned Dark Horse Mustang. Told them I didn't know, but that I had seen Orange Cassidy running about the neighborhood. I got you, brother. See? Snitches get stitches, and Bobby's World ain't no snitch. Bobby's World, he's a real one. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. George Seckman with the $15 super chat. What do cats eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies. You know, I might find that funnier if I wasn't dealing with a mouse problem myself, which is not funny at all. But I'll give you an A for effort, George. I'll give you an A for effort. I'm gonna catch this little mousy bastard. I got my own Spike. I got my own Janice. I'm gonna take care of this problem. Don't you worry about that. Project Libertad, at least AEW doesn't have an untalented hack that says yeet. All right, you got to tone it down, brother. You are obsessed. And we are all going to take great glee when he wins the World Heavyweight Championship and they're going to rub it in your face. So you got to give it up. You got to give it up. Ed Swoggle, with 25 months of channel membership, still haven't decided if I'm going to Dynamite next week. The past two shows have been pretty good. Well, pretty good. But I know they're due for a dud. But you can't base your decision on that. They're on a little bit of a roll right now, so you gotta strike while the iron is hot, man. If you're gonna go, now's the time to go. Take a chance. Bobby's World also missed Monday, but last time Balor won a match, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan were probably still a tag team. Please. Last time Finn Balor won a match, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan were probably in fucking high school. Psychopathic Savior with the $9.99. If Tony Khan doesn't make I don't know what that's supposed to say. If Tony Khan does... Oh, I think he means market. Yeah, something got jumbled up with those words there. If Tony Khan doesn't market those puppets, he's going to feel the wrath. I think you pull the trigger here. If not, it will be like when he didn't with the Acclaimed, and it won't be as good as the second time. I don't know, dude. The woman won one match. You're going to put a championship on her? I mean, I know people like her, but it's kind of ridiculous. And to that end, it's not really the same thing as the Acclaimed, because the Acclaimed had actually been built up for a little bit. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to be angry if they do it. I'll be very happy for her, and I'm sure it'll be a great moment. And honestly, Mercedes would probably just win the belt back on TV next week. So, it's not going to be anything to get, animated and hot about. I just think that, yeah, there's a longer story to tell with her. That's all. But honestly, if they're not going to take the title away from Mariah on that show on Saturday, I could see them saying, look, we got to do something to give the people a happy moment. Maybe that's their happy moment. You know, maybe that's how they send the fans home happy. Putting the title on Harley Cameron. The Juliet. Hulk Hogan and his beer are being sued. Yes, I did see this. Are being sued for negligence resulting in injury from an event in August. Also wanted to see what this new $18 super chat was all about. Get those likes up, people. Yep, Hogan and Real American Beer are being sued. Apparently there was an event at a bar back in August, and a can of beer was thrown at someone. I guess they were throwing out cans of beer for people to catch, and it hit this woman in the head. And she ended up with a gash and stitches, and basically she's scarred for life. And so she has filed suit. You want to be in business, brother. You have to throw cans at people's heads. That's what's going to happen. Base Beer says, I had been putting off the TNT show for a while. Then I realized yesterday you guys were on. Very fun stream. You and JD make for a great program. GWO for life. Yes, well, I saw you in the Super Chats last night. Yeah, it was great. We missed the show last week because I was basically knocking on death's door and couldn't speak. So it was good to get back in the saddle last night. We had close to 4,000 people live. So numbers-wise, I mean, you guys fucking killed it last night. It's one of our best shows yet, so thank you. I appreciate that. All the love. It means a lot. Devin from New Jersey. If Will Ospreay has kids, they should get into the business and form a faction called Will's Offspring. Good night, everybody. You know, that's actually not horrible. That's not bad. That's not bad. Will's Offspring. Base Bears, thank you for the two. Oz in Glory. Oh, I see we are a 7 out of 10 on the Super Chat goal right now for a bonus Be the Booker. Oz in Glorious, Tony Khan, if you're watching. I heard that Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia are also wanting their releases. I think it's time to let them go to NXT also, please. Your plan is not going to work here. I applaud the effort, but your plan is not going to work. Base Beer says, Paige won the title in UK. I didn't like it. She won the title in the UK. Oh, all in. Okay. Yeah. You'll have to forgive me. I mean, that run was so forgettable that I literally almost forgot about it. Chris Manson with the $10 super chat. I like the idea of Tony winning here. That way they each win in their hometown, therefore a third match in neutral ground in LA. I'm going to be there, so selfishly, I want to see it. Yeah, I mean, it would be the rubber match. I could see that. I could see that. RD Beats says, what's up? Dylan here. Just had my first heel turn this past Saturday by turning on my tag team partner, hitting him with a steel chair, and allying with the debuting Blaylock. I was at this AEW show as well. You were at the show? Were you on the show, though? Were you one of the security geeks? You could admit it. You were one of the security geeks, weren't you? That's very cool. You're a shitty partner for turning on him. But that's very cool. Dylan's been giving us periodic updates on his career in wrestling from when he started training until now, and he's coming along very nicely. See? He's already learned the wrestling code that after a while, you got to turn on your friend. Base Bearis. Beast Mortoast and Bret Hart, next tag team champions. Oz and Glorious, who has the most punchable face in wrestling? Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, Daddy Magic, Sammy Guevara, or Joe Hendry? Hit that like button. Probably Sammy Guevara of that bunch that you mentioned. Baze Bearish says no yeet. Well, that's what Project Libertad says every time he goes to bed every single night. Yeah, little kids will get down on their hands and knees and they'll clasp their hands, right? And they'll say their prayers before they go to bed. That's Project Libertad every single night. Only he doesn't pray. He doesn't pray then. He just goes, no yeet. And then he goes to bed. OM2Cool, thoughts on Jarrah Cholesterol's latest delusional statements on Chris Van Vliet about his AEW run. The poor victims of the vortex of death. Well, I mean, look, in his mind, he thinks that everybody he works with, every feud, every young star he works with, they're all better off for having worked with him. And obviously, that's not always the case. I don't really have a whole lot else to say. I mean, it's delusional, and that's not surprising to me that that's how he feels. Oz and Glorious, shout out to the guy with the yeet sign. Usos are trash. And the Juliet says, Kenta has rejoined Noah. Interesting. We just had Kenta in House of Glory at a great fucking match with Mike Santana. It was, you know, one of the coolest moments was just seeing how happy Santana was to get the match. That's a match he's wanted for so long. And it finally came together, and like during the ring intros, like you couldn't wipe the smile off his face. And then they went out and they tore it up. You know, because Kent has been around forever. He's been around for a long time, and I didn't know what to expect. But they went out there and they killed it, man. Kenta can still go. I'm talking Kenta, by the way, not Hideo Itami. I'm talking Kenta. That's who we're talking about. WWE has a relationship with Noah. Does he still want to face CM Punk? Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does want to face CM Punk. I'm sure of it, but I don't see that happening. I don't see that match happening. Chris Manson, member for 45 months. I can't wait to see Samantha Irvin in AEW. Her and Ricochet will kill it. Do you think that she'll help Ricochet win in LA against Swerve? Wouldn't surprise me. She has made no bones about the fact that she's not done with wrestling, but she doesn't want to be an announcer. She wants to be part of the show. If she was going to be part of the show, then it would make sense for her to be in Ricochet's corner. I just feel like the two of them together, and look, she's a blank slate. We know she's talented. She's never been a heel. She's never been a manager. So we don't know what we're going to get if Samantha Irvin, you know, ends up in a role like that in AEW. I think, though, that the two of them together, they have the potential to be a great heel combo, especially with Ricochet probably, you know, gloating about how, oh, look who I got, right? Everyone's jealous of me. And really playing up that whole, you know, character he's doing right now. I think it could work. But until we see her on an actual television screen acting or cutting promos, we don't know. Could be worth a shot. Julian Montes, thank you for the $9.99, Julian. I appreciate that very much. And Justin Hesse, look at Justin Hesse, a channel member, a Sound Off legend. For 46 months. Oz Inglorious. Congrats to Ricky Starks for finally arriving at Tier 1 Developmental to pose and promo wine in front of 250 people weekly at the age of 38. Cody is proud. Well, I'll tell you what, he's about to have a much bigger run than he ever had working for Tony Khan, so I'm happy for him. Eminem, glad you're sounding better since last Wednesday. If Mariah and Timeless main events Grand Slam, they should. Is it possible it would be better than Rhea and Nia? Rhea and Nia was good, but if these two women go out there, I don't care where they are on the show, they're gonna have a much better match. They're gonna kill it on Saturday. Hey Riley, welcome to the channel, brother. Good to have you. Eminem says also, Liver Morgan for Royal Rumble 2026. She's declaring early for the Rumble. Okay. I'll take her liver over Ric Flair's. She's got a much better shot than he does. Uffman Entertainment, as time goes on, I'm more a believer that Tony Khan will take the TBS title off of Mercedes once she beats Jade's record. What is Jade's record? Is it 600 days? Where's Mercedes at this point? She's nowhere close to that. She hasn't even been champion for a full year yet. I thought maybe Jade was up around the 600-day mark. Base Beer says, how did Teddy Long become the GM? He's one of the best. There was an opening one day, and Vince McMahon said, hey, we want Teddy to be the GM. Because Teddy's been a manager. He's been a referee. He was a referee for WWE. But obviously, there was just an opening one day. I don't know if there was a specific story where Vince may have overheard him, saying something and thought it was funny and said, hey, you know, he'd be good for that role. I don't know if there's like a legitimate story behind it. I'm sure Teddy has talked about it before. He's done interviews. They had a need and he filled that need for them. And Psychopathic Savior says, be the booker, feel the wrath. I don't know, man. Unfortunately, it looks like tonight will not be one of those nights because we're not even at 350 likes. So, but I just noticed we hit the goal. We did hit the goal. So we actually are going to do Be the Booker, but the bonus round is going to be the only round because we did not hit the main goal. So how about that? You just backdoored your way into Be the Booker tonight. That's a first. That's a first. BCOM, see clearly, MJF against Hangman is fire. Winner gets a title shot, period. I agree, and the winner ultimately should be Hangman Page. And that takes Hangman Page all the way to the old stadium there in Texas. And he becomes a two-time AEW World Champion. Book it. That's the way to go. All right, you get your one round. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, look who it is.
Time to be the booker.
It's the man who was, what was it, promo whining in front of 250 people? I do believe that the segment, as I checked it last, had something like over a million views, I think, on Twitter alone. Must have worked. Here he is, Ricky Starks from NXT last night. All right, here we go. Be the Booker time. Here we go. Let's start with tag team Be the Booker. Ricky Starks will become Mickey Rocks. Yeah. I know they were avoiding saying his name last night. Everybody assuming that that means he's not going to be able to use his name. Look, they may give him a new name, which I think would be fucking terrible, but it could just be a case where they haven't yet licensed the name. Like, he literally just became available, and then boom, he was within 24 hours, he was on TV. So I'm sure that if they're going to license his name, which is what they do with a lot of people, they haven't had time to do it yet. Like, did that thought not occur to some people? And that's why they were just avoiding calling him anything? That doesn't mean he's not going to be Ricky Starks. Let's wait and see. All right, the first tag team here is Rowdy Roddy Piper and Ric Flair, who were, in fact, the World Tag Team Champions many years ago. I want to say this was 2006. Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Going to be taking on Harlem Heat 2000. Stevie Ray and Big T. You gonna put Ric Flair in the ring with Ahmed Johnson? Poor Ric. This was is that Clarence Mason? This was awful. This was just awful. Remember they had a match over the letter T? Whoever wins, like Booker T, he lost the T. It's ridiculous. Oh. I hit the wrong button, but you know what? It's well deserved. I literally hit the wrong button, but actually it kind of fits. It's kind of appropriate. All right, women's be the Booker. Let's move on here. We could do better. We could do better. Doesn't mean we are going to do better. Stephanie McMahon as the women's champion. The great Stephanie McMahon. All those great Stephanie McMahon matches that we got. Don't you remember all those great Stephanie McMahon matches? Man, that top 10 list is just chock full of matches. Stephanie is going to defend her title against the murder clown, Kana. And you know what? I'm giving that the bell, not because I think the match would be any good, but because watching Kana just absolutely go in there and destroy Stephanie McMahon, who has no idea what she's doing, because that was a young Stephanie McMahon in that picture, would be very entertaining. This would be sports entertainment is what this would be. Here we go. Our main event. On one side, we have the legendary, the Hall of Famer, the longest reigning champion of all time, Roman Reigns be damned, Bruno Sammartino, a man's man right here. Bruno Sammartino, even he's got his little shitty belt there, but that's okay. Bruno main evented many shows at Madison Square Garden in his day, more than almost anyone else. Maybe more than anyone else. Now he's made of any be the Booker. Bruno Sammartino against the great Khali. For shame. Not even Bruno could save this one. Bruno Sammartino against the great Khali. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you serious? Well, now we have to, though. You know what we have to do now. We have to add a stipulation to this match. We need to find out what kind of match Bruno Sammartino and the great Khali are going to have. I need to know. Bruno Sammartino and the great Khali are going to have a table match. And yes, with the booking of this match, I do believe that Be the Booker has just been Russo'd. We have been Russo'd here in this main event. Terrible. Atrocious. I don't know what to say. I think Bruno would walk out. I don't even think Bruno would go to the ring for that match. I think he would be so disgusted. Like, what do you expect me to do here? That he might just turn around and walk out. Matt says, fun fact, I worked with Bruno's niece. She was amazed that anybody knew who he was when she heard me talking about him one day. Well, I'm guessing she wasn't a wrestling fan, so of course. I mean, it's like, you knew my uncle? Probably blew her away. Oz and Glorious says, Megan Bain is the truth. Why didn't you tell us? What do you mean, why didn't I tell you? I've been telling you for the longest time. She's still our women's champion. She's actually had some really good matches, too, as champion during her run. I've made mention of that fact before. She's got a great look. She can go out there and have very good matches. She just looks like a star. She is a star. Now the whole world will find out. Oofman Entertainment, Jade equals 508, Mercedes equals 253. Okay, yeah, well, Mercedes has a ways to go if she's going to catch up to Jade Cargill. I don't see that happening. It doesn't have to go that long. And Base Beerus, you thought Ronda whooped Steph. Kana would kill her. Oh, Kana would have fun. Kana, yeah, what would it be like? It'd be like a cat playing with a dead mouse. Just like playing with them like a toy. That's what that would be. Retro KOH, Kali against San Martino would be a banger. Cena and Kali had a great last man standing match. Kali for life. Very good. Retro, I like you, brother, so I'm going to leave that one alone. Bruno Sammartino and the Great Khali would be awful. It would be 16 ways of awful. Even adding the table match stipulation, it would be an atrocious match. Dylan did it for The Rock. Why, Dylan, why? Why indeed? All right, the next time I'm live with you guys will be Friday night. We're going to talk about SmackDown. SmackDown's been very not great. So I hope they can pull a rabbit out of the hat this Friday, because I've not been happy or impressed with SmackDown of late, let alone the way they went off the air last week. So hopefully we'll get a better show. BCOM, see clearly. Please give us 15 more minutes. I shouldn't have to give you 15 more minutes, man. We've been going now. We've been going now for almost 2 hours, man. I mean, 400 likes, that should be cake. What are we doing here? You're letting me down. Power Spying Games, thoughts on Stephanie versus Sable, Vengeance 03. I honestly don't have a lot of memories of that. So I really didn't think a whole lot of that match, to be honest with you. I do, however, remember Stephanie and Trish at No Way Out in 2001. I remember liking that match for a lot of different reasons, but I remember liking that match. Undertaker's favorite opponent was the Giant Gonzalez. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was thrilled. He was just thrilled as pie to be working with him. He wanted to work with Yoko. And he says that Vince said, you'll work with him, but you got to do this for me. I owe you one, pal. You gotta work with Jorge. And they did, and those matches sucked. There were two of them. Uofman Entertainment, Dylan's response, you don't deserve a reason why. That's the Triple H way of booking. You're learning well. I don't need to tell you why. I'm gonna make you wait until we figure it out, because we don't know yet. Andre against Bruno would have been good. Yeah, Andre from like the 70s against Bruno would have been good, sure. Andre later on could barely fucking move. You could have put Andre in there with Will Ospreay, and maybe with Ospreay he could have made it kind of interesting, but most people would not have been able to do anything with him at that. I mean, He was so broken down. You know what's really sad is when I see photos of him in Japan and maybe Mexico too, but in Japan from like 91, 92. Like he looked sick and he could barely move. And you could tell like he was in so much pain at that point. I don't know if he just felt like he had to, you know, financially, like he still had to work. I don't know what it was, but they tried to hide his weaknesses by putting him in tag matches and stuff, but it was sad because he never had the surgery like Big Show had it when he was in his teens to stop the pituitary gland from growing. He had that option and he didn't want to have the surgery. He just felt like it would take away the mystique about him and everything, which is kind of silly because at that point he was already a giant. So it's not as if, you know, he would have shrunk. I don't know. Maybe that's honestly the way he was feeling about it, but it's sad that there was something that could have been done that could have prolonged his life, and he just opted not to do it. Well, it appears that we have, in fact, hit the 400 likes. Sons of bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Risen from the dead, it is Be the Booker time. Can you believe it? You brought me back for the Godwins. This is why you brought me back? For Hog and Pig? The Godwins are going to face Shawn Michaels and Big Daddy Cool Diesel, the two dudes with attitude. I like Diesel and Shawn as a team. All right, women's Be the Booker. Jade Cargill, the longest reigning TBS champion of all time. Oh my God. I'm going to be here all night. Choose four women and book a tag team match. Well, we already picked Jade. I can't believe this. All right. Well, we have one, so we have to pick three more. Jesus Christ. Jade Cargill. Stephanie Vaquer. I guess we could put them on the same team. So Jade and Stephanie is one team. On the other team, we have... Uh-oh. Oh, that's a... No. 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 No, we're doing that over again. I was about to say Mariah May, and then it's like on The Price is Right when you spin the wheel, right? And the little thing, right? You think it's right there, but then it goes. It's like, oh my God, I won $1 million, and then it goes, and you win 10 cents. We go from Mariah May to Michelle McCool. Fuck that. We'll pick again. We got Maryse. I like that better. We have Maryse. And who will Maryse be teaming with? I would like to know. Bailey and Maryse against Jade Cargill and Stephanie Vaquer. All right. Okay. Men's Be the Booker. We'll add a stipulation because I feel like it. This is going to be a Lion's Den match. Okay. Someone is going into the Lion's Den. Someone is dying in the Lion's Den. Let's find out what our main event is going to be. It is going to be... Tyrus. The NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Tyrus. I'll pick an opponent, but I see Tyrus, I buzz. I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple. Chad Gable was killed. Pick a stipulation to ease our pain. I now have to replace the stipulation. You know what? We're going to start this whole main event all over again, if that's the case. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start the whole main event all over again. That's what we're going to do. I cannot believe what is going on here. I cannot believe this. Cannot believe what is happening here. So let's pick the stipulation. We're starting over again. Lumberjack match. That's a lot of bodies around the ring there. Lumberjack match. Lumberjack matches suck. I should have stuck with Lions then. Okay, here we go. It's going to be a lumberjack match, folks. And this is it. This is it. This is the end of the road. Shingo Takagi, the former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Chad Gable died for our sins. Shingo Takagi in a lumberjack match. Against Tommaso Ciampa. We did it. We did it. It's done. It's done. I will see you back here on Friday night for the SmackDown stream. And if you missed it, go back and check out my Raw post show from Monday and episode 900 of The Sound Off and TNT from last night. We went almost 4 fucking hours. A lot of content. Please go check it out. And I will see you back here for more Sound Off real soon. Until then. Take care, guys.